Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we have some special guests with us today. We have Dean and Cindy Gregus with us, who are talking about changing with the culture, and we are really glad that you guys are with us today. I want to start out by asking, what initially drew you to peace with Christ? You guys have been here 40 years, over or right at?
Over 40, because church started in 82.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right. So what originally brought you to peace with Christ? Why are you here? Why are you here?
Good question. No, first of all, we had our first call from Concordia. We were both teachers, and we were called to Denver here, and we were in a church that was two churches, actually, the school that Dean taught at, but I was at a different school. We were in a church and helping the ministry there because we had the choice between two of the churches that were part of the school, and we chose the one that was struggling a little bit, and their ministry was in a decline. And we just felt that maybe there was a place for us to be there. But then things changed with us as far as job opportunities, and we ended up moving. And when we did, and we moved out to Aurora here, and when we moved, we ended up coming, being a part of the starting the church. And that was exciting. We had never done that before. And so that was new to us, and we were excited about it.
And Dean, I think there's a picture of you on Tower Road, not on Tower Road, but on our current property, digging like the first hole. Like there was nothing. I look at that picture and I'm like, we have grown, not only us, but the whole community. Like there was nothing here. It was desolate.
I know there's a picture of me helping with some of the original landscaping. But right out here where the preschool and stuff is now, that hillside, there used to be rocks there. But anyhow, I think, yeah, for Cindy and I, we both grew up in the Midwest in traditional churches. They were well-established, things like that. And then, like Cindy said, when we came out here teaching initially, both of us, we were part of established congregations with schools, things like that. And so when Peace with Christ started, it was an opportunity to be a part of something new. And so we had never had a chance to do that before. And so that was really exciting, you know. The congregations we've been a part of in the past were probably a little bit tradition-bound, and we didn't feel like maybe they were doing as many things as they could to with their ministry and things like that. And so I'll be honest, to a certain extent, we thought, well, maybe we have a chance to be a part of trying to do things the right way.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. The reason we have you guys here is because it's that whole topic of changing with the culture. You guys have done such a great job of joining Peace, of being a part of Peace, of helping to cast the vision at Peace, of being in leadership at Peace, on staff at Peace. I could keep going on and on. But you guys have this very unique ability to shift as the generation shift, to shift as the culture shifts. I don't think there's a time I've approached you, either of you, where you haven't just been ready to serve. You've never been like, well, we're a little bit tired, or, you know, that's not really for us, or whatever. You've just been very generous in serving and being a part of the church. So that, with that being said, what's the biggest cultural change that you guys have seen in our church and in the community in your time in ministry?
Well, definitely people have, you know, when we first moved to Aurora, it was very white, suburban, soccer moms probably type situation. And the culture or the population has changed.
It has.
There's a lot more diversity with different peoples. And have we always shift it with that? We hope we can by being out in the community and being a part of what we see as important to reach out to different peoples in the community. So
I think there's been a lot of change in our culture, just the general attitude. I think probably 40-some years ago, it was probably still more generally accepted for people to go to church. You know, there was a time when we described the United States as having a Christian culture, and I'm now not so sure that that's the case anymore. I think what I've noticed over the past 40 years or so is that that people are more willing and open about being anti-church and anti-Christian and things like that. And so that's been a struggle, certainly a little bit of a concern, because I don't see the culture, the American culture, heading in the right direction in that sense. And so that was a matter of concern.
Yeah, and we definitely see that in our area. I mean, we talk about it a lot of times that 50% of the people around us don't know Jesus and 75% don't have a church home. And my guess is 40 years ago, those statistics were, I don't know what they are, but I'm sure they were totally different.
Yeah, you've talked a little bit about the boom of the 90s. How have you seen peace change through the years?
Well, I think, you know, early on, certainly it was kind of small. I mean, we met originally in an elementary school, and we had the little stage there, and they actually had a paper mache dragon hanging over the, it was some kind of reading thing or something like that.
That was at Cimarron, right?
Cimarron Elementary. Yeah, that's where we started. And of course, when we built the first building and things like that, you know, it was pretty basic and things like that. And then, of course, in the 90s, the church kind of grew and kind of boomed a little bit, and then we had a period where we kind of cooled off a little bit. And so, you know, I think cycles are part of life, and so we've seen those up and down cycles for the church a little bit too. But you know, we've always believed that we were planted here, and so we've basically pretty much spent our whole time here trying to bloom where we're planted.
How have you guys stayed effective and relevant through those changes in the culture? Like, I know, Dean, you've been on leadership. Cindy, you've taught in school. But I think more personally, like, as you guys have volunteered now, how have you stayed relevant and effective?
Well, one of the things that attracted us to the ministry at Peace with Christ First is that this was Pastor Hiller's philosophy, and we really agreed with that. And that was, Pastor believed that Peace with Christ should be conservative theologically, but progressive methodologically. And that appealed to me naturally also, because I believe, as St. Paul said in one of his epistles, he said, you know, he would do whatever he needed to do to reach people with the gospel. So to the Jew, he would be one way. To the Gentile, he would be another way, you know. And he basically said that he would just do whatever was necessary to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. And so I think that that was important for Peace with Christ also, and philosophy. And that's something that attracted us. And I like to think I'm a forward-thinking person. I've gotten a little bit more conservative in my old age, and I don't adapt to change as well as I used to. But I've always believed that learning should be a lifelong process. And so I've tried to be open when new things were presented and stuff like that. If there was a better way to do things, I wanted to be a part of that.
Is there anything you ever said no to before Cindy answers that question? Is there anything you've ever said no to? I just won't do that, or I can't do that?
No, I don't think I've ever said no in the past, no.
That's good. So Cindy, how about for you? How do you stay relevant and effective?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that, like Dean said, we both have the philosophy of trying to be a lifelong learner, and we want to grow and never stay the same exactly, because life is always changing and things around you always change. But we do have a God that is the same, and as he was yesterday, will be today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we know that whatever is going on, we have a faithful God, and we want to be steadfast and faithful for him. So trying to meet those times and challenges are part of that. Now, do I always do that well? No. I probably don't as well as God would want me to, but I think one of the things we do is talk about it at home and discuss it and say and pray about it and say what is going on, what can we do, what is a place that we can be used by God to help in the ministry and further the ministry.
Yeah, and I love that. It's such a simple focus, but in your mind, as I listen to you, it just seems so clear that like our hope and our comfort isn't in our church operating a certain way, but it's in Jesus, it's in Him. And then if our comfort and hope is in Him, it's not so much of a question of if I agree with everything or if I can buy into everything, but how can I serve Christ's mission in this place? And in a mission that I think you both believe in, that's been the same, that we want to be conservative in what we believe because God's truth is truth, but yet we got to reach people. And so I think that's so good to hear, and I think so important for us to remember that where our hope and comfort comes, it doesn't ultimately come from our church, it comes from Jesus. And what do I get to do in my church for that mission?
Something that really stands out to me also is you're a team in this. Your conversation we had prior to this, you talk a lot about praying together about it, about talking about it. It's not, I went to five other people and wanted to see what they thought, you know, or rally the troops against something. But it's very unified in how you approach it. And I think that's really amazing and outstanding.
I think, Cindy and I pretty much came, even though we grew up in different places in the Midwest, we met in college and stuff, but I think we come from the same cultural background, and the same value system. And so, and that's been made it a little bit easier. I mean, we don't always see eye to eye, but one of the things we've tried to do is that when there is conflict, we've tried to make it a point to sit down and discuss it with one another. And so I find that probably 95% of the time we're pretty much in lockstep on how we look at things. But every once in a while, we have to sit down and clarify things.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always there's conflict in the church. I mean, whether it's one that is going on throughout the body or maybe a difference of opinion that you guys have, that's a normal part of church life together, right?
I think that's true. I think with anything, hopefully you can look at things and see perspective for different things going on. And just because you hold a certain perspective doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be open to what another person is thinking, because they might have a really good idea and a really something that you never thought of before. And so I think we have a life group that's been together for a while and off and on for probably a good 30 years.
Which is amazing and awesome.
And that's, we use them too, though, as a sounding board. And we talk about things if they're bothering us. And just say, what do you think? Where are you guys at this? And we don't always agree, but we always don't disagree. We just kind of realize that together we can be stronger than if we are all being
on the same page.
Yeah.
So what have been some of the challenges of navigating generational and cultural changes within the church for you guys personally? What's some of the hard of navigating this?
Well, I mean, again, I grew up in the Midwest in a very probably traditional type place. And so one of the things I've struggled with a little bit is some of the younger generations. They have a different way of looking at things. And even just sometimes adapting to technology. I mean, we just recently, a year or so ago, dropped our landline finally. But for a long time, we had a landline. That was it. So, I mean, when cell phones first kind of came out and things like that, there were just a lot of things. Part of my job, though, that I had required me to deal with technology, and so that's helped. I've learned to deal with it. But like I said, even with the cultural changes, I've struggled with that a little bit. I find that different generations of people look at things differently, and usually they look at things differently than I do. And to be perfectly honest, I struggle with accepting that sometimes, or at least, or even understanding it, you know, so because it doesn't relate to the frame of reference that I grew up with.
I remember Pastor Hiller was helping us with our food bank during COVID, and we had gone live stream, and he was dropping something off, and I was receiving it, and he goes, "I bet you're kind of glad that I'm not leading right now, because I wouldn't know what to do with the live stream, right?" And it was the technology piece. It was a piece that was really hard for him to get his mind around and to be able to lead through that. He saw the challenge of it. Yeah. How about for you, Cindy?
I can relate to that, the technology part of it. I can relate to that. As I retired from teaching right before COVID struck, basically, and I was very thankful, and because I'm not sure how well I would have navigated that whole situation, but I think that, you know, we've seen, as Dean said, changes in the church as far as when Pastor Hiller introduced the contemporary service versus the traditional, still having the traditional, still, and then adding the contemporary with it, which was new for us. But I think we saw an excitement in that, too, because we were starting different groups, Christian groups were starting to become more, popular on the radio and becoming, Amy Grant was part of that, you know, that
El
whole
Shaddai
movement. Yes. And so, you know, we've seen that.
We're going to get really edgy here.
And, you know, part of it was exciting and part of it was like, wow, you know, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think John Schultz and Pastor Hiller were both very ahead of their time. And if you're listening, you wouldn't know that name, but he was very instrumental in, I've read back some of his notes on church council. The vision that John Schultz saw for peace was so way before its time. I've told Garnet that since then. John passed away, sadly, my first year of ministry here. And he didn't get to see a lot of it realized, but in another way, he got the best seat in the house to see it. So
when I think looking back, we can't realize how, and I can't realize how big of a change that was. I remember pastors in Indiana when I was six. So this was about 93 or so. So probably that
I was four.
But anyway, like this is 93, and there were pastors that said that like Sandy Patty and Stephen Curtis Chapman and these people were of the devil. Like it was that strong, the pushback against this change in music that now is pretty standard for us, right?
Yeah, and I think the changes that came with that really put us on a trajectory to move forward in a time that the church was really moving and changing.
Well, and that's, I'll be honest. I mean, first of all, I had a student introduce me to contemporary Christian music when I was teaching school. And I started listening to it, and I really, really liked it. But I honestly, when we first announced we were going to do it here at Peace with Christ, I was a little bit reluctant. I wasn't sure how I felt about having it in a church service. You know, it was one thing to listen to it. It was another thing to have it in a church service. And Cindy was the one who basically said, well, let's give it a try because I think our boys will find it more interesting. And so that's what kind of drove it to us. And so... And actually, it's kind of interesting. They had a worship team and stuff like that, and I always sang in choir and things like that. The first year, I kind of sat it out. But then after that, I went ahead and tried it out and eventually became part of the worship ministry.
Yeah.
But I did struggle with it a little bit at first because, like I said, it was something new, and I wasn't sure how I felt about having it in worship.
Yeah, so any advice to, like, if people are sitting in that and like struggling in like a change that's happening within their church, within our church, like if these are people, like how do you sit in the midst of that and trust the direction when you kind of aren't agreeing with maybe something that's going on?
When your stage is changing, which is a big one that we went through, right? Just went through.
Yeah. Like, yeah. How do you trust the leadership? How do you still walk with your church when you're struggling in that?
Well, Cindy and I, first of all, we consider Mike and Janet personal friends as well as our pastor and things like that. But, you know, growing up, I went to some parochial school for part of the time and Lutheran high school. And so I learned from my teachers. I learned from my pastors and my congregations and things like that when I was growing up. I learned that they could be trusted. And so, and also, like, having been on both sides of the fence, I mean, Cindy and I were both in professional church work for a while. And so I've seen that sometimes, unfortunately, I think, well, when I was a teacher, I had parents who certainly didn't like some of the things I did in the classroom and things like that, and so, or the way I disciplined their student. And so one of the things we've tried to do is not to be overly critical, because I think that most church leaders probably get more criticism than is justified. They're just trying to do their best. They're trying to lead people to know Jesus Christ the best way that they know how. And, you know, I found the easiest thing in the world is to criticize. I think it's much more difficult to be positive and to be upbuilding. Even if, for example, you think something can be done better, there are ways to approach making suggestions that can be helpful. Yeah. And there's other methods of making suggestions that don't help things move along. And so Cindy and I have tried to look back. Like I said, I don't handle change all that well, but one of the things I try and do, like for example, when something new is proposed and I'm not sure how I really feel about it, one of the things I try and do, like Cindy said, we pray about it, try and read scripture about it, do a little bit of research and things like that. But I try and ask myself, first of all, okay, is this something personal? Is this my feelings getting in the way? Or is this really God's will? And I think that's something that it's important you look at too, that you make sure that it's not just your will being imposed here, but what does God want in this situation?
And do you get that answer right away?
No, sometimes it takes a while. I mean, there are programs that we've tried here at Peace with Christ that initially I was somewhat reluctant to be involved, but I was asked to be involved, and I felt maybe it was important for the congregation, so I went along with it. And in many cases, I learned later on the value of it and learned that, you know, that there was some worth to it that I just maybe didn't initially pick up on.
Yeah, and I think even like I've seen that, and you know, we don't have to go if you thought it was a good idea or not, but I even think like our worship remodel, you came and Brian and I were presenting it, and you kind of said, well, I think maybe this would be a better idea. Like we were very nice and kind in what you said, and you know, and then we went forward and we took everybody's feedback, and you know, the committee came up with the design, but then you were there helping us paint and in on it, even though we didn't take every one of your ideas and run with it. And I thought that was just a good testament of exactly what you said, that you know, you say your piece, you do it positively, but then you're still in for the mission of where the church is going. And so thank you.
And for the ministry leaders. And I do thank you for that. I mean, you've always been behind us 100%. And even when maybe you weren't, you were, right?
I may not have agreed completely, but we were there.
I want to move along. I want to ask, when is a time in ministry for each of you that you, as you were serving, you really saw God's faithfulness? Like, you could put your finger on it and be like, man, God was really good right there.
Well, I think I've been involved in the worship ministry most of my time here, like I said, after the first year of contemporary services. But then I also spent a little bit of time down in Arizona where for 3.5 years where I wasn't able to be involved in the ministry at Peace with Christ.
You had work obligations.
I had lost my job here in Denver, and the only place I could find a job was down in Arizona. And I went down there for 3.5 years, and Cindy was teaching school here, so she stayed here. But anyhow, there was a period that our worship ministry went through where it really, really struggled. And you know, and I certainly had my concerns about that at that time and was really worried about it. But I believe that through it all, even though it was a struggle, I believe that God was with us through that. And I think certainly we're in a much better position today than we were maybe 10 years ago or so.
Yeah. Yeah. How about for you, Cindy, God's faithfulness?
Wow. That,
it's a big question.
Yeah. And being part of the school ministry, I can see that totally too, as well as what has happened in the church. The growth and being a part of the staff that started the school and seeing the growth that where it is now. And we've had definitely highs in enrollment, lows in enrollment, but God's faithfulness to what was doing here and reaching out to that younger generation and helping parents and walking alongside them to bring the gospel to them.
Yeah.
Is God's amazing.
Yeah.
So 40 years is a really long time. And yet it's the blink of an eye. What do you hope Peace's greatest legacy is? And maybe we're living it, and maybe it's in the future. But what do you hope our greatest legacy is?
Well, one of the things that I believe that was always trying to be done here, both by Pastor Hiller and by Pastor Kreppel, and like I said, that is, I think the primary focus has been to share the good news of the gospel with people and to do it in a way that is as relevant to them as possible. And so I hope that that continues, because as people change, I mean, change is the only constant in our world. So we know that that's going to be changing. There's going to be new generations coming up. You know, Cindy and I just been recently blessed with grandkids and things like that. And I'm sure they're going to grow up in a different world than what we did. And so I hope that Peace with Christ is able to maintain that open mind where we hold tightly to the truth of the gospel and we don't change the message, but that we do look for ways to share that message that maybe will reach a new generation or a different, or just even a different personality that nobody ever was able to reach them with the gospel before. And so I hope that that will be our legacy, is that we are constantly looking for new ways to share the gospel in meaningful ways.
Well said. And has our approach changed through time?
Certainly. Yeah. You know, like I said, originally we didn't have contemporary Christian services, and then they added that, you know, and that had some value too. On the other hand, I guess I grew up with a traditional worship service, and so I still love to participate in that occasionally, because there's some value there, I think, as far as comfort and things like that, to have that. But things have changed a lot over the years, including the building. I mean, you know, we've been here for three different building programs. You know, this building is completely different than the original footprint it had.
Yes, yes. How about you, Cindy? What do you hope Peace's greatest legacy is?
Like I said, that they continue to have a heart for people and reaching, I think Dean said it well, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus. That's the heart of our ministry here. And in a world that is very struggling and since, I guess, time began, the world has struggled with all the things that are happening. But I would hope, too, that we would be a praying church and continue to give over those things to God and that we would always look to Him.
All right, so kind of in closing, this is for our leaders. We really want to speak into them. What advice would you offer the next generation of leaders as they step into ministry, especially with the changing culture? If you could leave them with some words.
Well, I think that even though I have a since I was a Lutheran teacher, I had a lot of theology classes and stuff like that, but I never felt like I was really good at sharing my faith. And that's something that I've struggled with, is to try and improve my ability to share my faith with people and things like that. And so we made reference to it before, but you know, the Christian church grew faster before we had a professional ministry. And nothing
Thanks,
personal,
Dean.
Pastor.
Thanks, Dean.
but the bottom line was that the early Christian church grew because individual Christians shared their faith with their neighbors, their relatives, whoever they encountered with, before we had an opportunity to have seminaries and people professionally trained in this work. And so
it was original joining Jesus, right?
Exactly. And so I would hope that Peace with Christ would continue to work at helping each of our members become better witnesses for Jesus themselves, because I think that will be the success of the Christian church in the United States in the future, is that the more of us share our faith and learn how to share our faith with our fellow citizens, I think that will do the best as far as helping the Holy Spirit do His work.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Anything you want to add to that, Cindy?
I think that's pretty well said, as far as I can say. But I would just add that staying in the Word and always looking to Jesus for that firm foundation, and raising up leaders that do look to that. You know, they have to meet the needs of people around them and hear what they're saying, but try to speak the truth of the Lord's work that He's given us to do, yeah, and to be in His Scripture, in His Word.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts, Pastor?
No. I think just the idea that to understand your church. I think you guys have done a good job, like, understanding the heart of your church. And I think when you understand the heart of your church and what's behind it, it can allow you to come alongside of things even when you don't line up 100%. And I think, you know, as we talk about, like, changing with your culture, I just see just an authenticness and genuineness in you that you want to follow God and do the work of His kingdom, but you want to do it together with other people. And I think we need that. Sometimes my generation, if I don't line up, like, we'll just pull away. And I think there's just such wisdom in that you can do things together with people when you don't 100, when you're not 100% there, because you agree on the big things. And so make sure you understand your church's big things, like, and that's so important. And that'll help you change with your culture. Because what a beautiful story. Like, I want to have that same story, right? That my kids grew up at the church and that, you know, I'm there for a long time. And I think a lot of other people would too, that length and duration of community. But I think it takes the intentionality you guys did to have that length of time at a church, because people are hard. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for that. You are a legacy for all of us, and you're still making an impact. So thank you.
Yeah, amen. Well said. And thank you so much for joining us today for Jesus-Centric Leadership. We'll see you next time.